I've got the world's biggest fly in this room. Just give me 1 minute.
Animal rights activist Andrew Crossland.
It's the Renewable Energy Podcast with Dr. Andrew Crossland and David Kirby with MyGrid GB.
You all good? You feeling good?
Oh, I'm so angry. Flies just drive me up the wall. People tell me they've got like a vital role to play in nature, but...
I feel like we're on topic anyway for whatever we were going to talk about this episode.
We were going to talk about biomass, which is lots of waste of various forms, which seem to attract flies. Is that the tenuous link you're after?
I don't think it's a million miles away. Flies are one of those animals that kind of utilise waste in a positive and energy efficient ways, and that was kind of the point. So
that was so much better. That was such a good. I'm recovered now. That energy tenuous link has saved my mood.
We're off. We're off. Episode 5. Here we go.
This is actually a landmark episode, David. A landmark episode. It is, because it's the first time we've had a plan and a structure.
I worry that we've set ourselves up for a fall.
We're going to talk about biomass for a little bit.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about... I've got a jingle for this, which I'm really excited about. We're going to do Dave's great idea, and I'll save the jingle for that, where you're going to... And I've no idea what you're going to say. You're going to come up with an idea about how to save the planet, and then I'm going to... give a unresearched but experience-based opinion on it.
An honest, critical review of whether that would work.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, you're talking as though you're surprised what it's going to be. I haven't even thought of it yet, so you imagine how surprised I'm going to be when I save the world in 20 minutes' time.
And I was thinking at the end, after do that, I've got a bit of news which has come out, which I thought was very exciting. It's nothing to do with, I'm not getting married, Dave, nor am I pregnant, but I thought we'd do a bit of news.
Yeah. So biomass is a really interesting one. I think a good way of starting would be, Andy, if you want to give us a rough outline of what that means and what that entails, and then we can have a chat about it in a bit more depth.
Yeah, yeah. So biomass. So biomass is a purported form of renewable energy, extracting energy from plants mostly, or, you know, organic material, plants, trees, straw, animal droppings, human waste, etc. And the idea is that, you know, all this stuff has loads and loads of energy inside it, and we can use it to make renewable energy. It's renewable if we are growing the plants, putting them into a plant, burning them, producing electricity or producing heat, and then, you know, doing that every year as we regrow the plants. I guess it's a bit like, Dave, it's a bit like cavemen going out and sort of foraging for wood, coming back, making a fire. That's sort of the earliest form of biomass. In some respects, it's probably the oldest form of renewable energy. It's massively controversial, and rightly so.
Is
rightly
it? Very. Yeah. What's controversial about, hey, let's use nature to get energy?
Well, so, I mean, there's some bits that are not controversial. So there's a sewage plant in Newcastle, and, you know, everyone, all the sewage goes into, all the human waste or whatever goes into the sewage system, goes down the pipes, and just near the coast, there's a big sewage plant, and there are these big containers full of all the human waste, and they burn the gas that comes off of it. The gas that comes off of it's methane. It's really, really bad for the planet. They burn it. It reduces it down to carbon dioxide, much lower greenhouse effect, arguably, you know, somewhat carbon negative. It's reducing the carbon impact of all that gas, and we're getting all this heat and electricity. You know, it's wonderful. Did that make any sense? Or did I just go through that ramblingly quick?
No, I mean, it makes sense. So it's the byproducts that are the problem. It's when you burn it, and then it gives you the methane, and obviously that's a big issue with the environment.
So you've got these giant vats full of human waste, and the old school way would be they treat all that waste and pump it into the ocean, and it would rot, releasing methane. That's kind of, and methane's a really, really bad greenhouse gas. So what they've sort of decided to do, and what they've realized is, well, if they let that sewage rot inside a container, I'm being very simplistic here, but let it rot inside a container, tap off the methane, burn the methane to make electricity and heat. And then what actually is left at the bottom is a basically a powdered waste that they can then use as a fertilizer. So rather than sort of shoving it out in the oceans, you can take it off and use it to fertilize soil, and you get electricity. So it's super green. I mean, it's like the greenest thing you can do, really. You're taking all this great human waste and using it to make energy. You're reducing your methane emissions. You know, it's all very good.
I remember you telling me a story about going to one of these plants.
Oh, yeah. I need to tell you the controversial parts, because we're just singing the praises of biomass. And this is a really good form of it. But yeah, I did. I went to one when I was at uni. We'd arranged a trip. Me and a mate, just kind of thing you do when you're at uni, isn't it?
Let's go at the crap factory.
Yeah, so we went there and the guy was showing us around. And the plant apparently smelled different on a Friday when everyone had a curry and beer than it did on other nights. I know that's a bit disgusting, but I did find it quite interesting.
I am absolutely here for that. You know how my only input in this that I write songs?
Yeah.
And I did say I was going to write bespoke songs for the episodes and different things. And so far, out of all the episodes, I've only done it once.
That's why you want to talk about biomass. You've got a bespoke song.
Well, no. We decided to do biomass, and then I remembered the story you told me, and then I ended up spending the best part of about 2 weeks writing this song. I'm going to play it for you now. But okay. Anyway.
The warden turned up to his shift, put on his high-vis jacket, took a massive sniff. He gives himself a big smile, 'cause he knows he's right. It's Thursday night. It's curry night. So Monday smells like steamed veg, and Tuesday's much the same. Everyone trying to be healthy after a weekend of shame. Wednesday is a cheat day once the poop quiz is done. So that night smells like beer and beef and cheesy burger buns. Thursday, as we already said, is curry night. And Friday, of course, is fish and chips when everything is gonna be alright. But there's one thing that he still laments. Monday to Friday shift is fine, but it's left a gap in his sense. He goes home crying to himself every night, and he says, will I ever find? Oh, what does the weekend smell like? Yeah, what does the weekend smell like? Yeah, but he's a lucky man, got a loving wife. When he comes home to her every night, she looks him in the eye. Give me those fat bird kisses. Give me those fat bird kisses. Yeah, key changer. Give me those fat bird kisses. Give me those fat bird kisses.
Now, I like the effort you've gone to.
I'm so sorry. Can I be really honest with you? I really panicked and I was like, I need a bespoke song for the episode. And then I got trapped in this little spiral of that story you told me, and I just couldn't get out of it. So I just powered through and finished it. So yeah, apologies. And there it is, a song about...
There is a song about biomass.
We can move on.
No, I like it. I hope no one was upset by the reference to a bigger lady who might be kissed. But apart from that, I thought it was wonderful. Well, it's very controversial.
That's not what it's about. She's the one kissing him and saying, "I don't care that you smell like a fat bird. I still love you."
Okay, I thought it was fat bird kisses.
Fatberg kisses.
Oh, gosh, I was so offended. I was like, not offended.
Did you think I wrote a song about a fat lass?
Well, I did, and I thought it's very out of character, David.
Fatberg kisses. Fatberg kisses. Because he works at a plant, and he probably smells like a fatberg, but regardless, he's a hard-working man, and he's a lovely man.
That's a great reference. I love it. And fatbergs are the things that the bane of life. They're the things that block the sewage. There's one blocking one near me at the minute. It's a nightmare. The amount of times I have to go down and unplog my drains because of the bloody fatberg. It's genius, David. And there's a bit in there. What was the line about trying to be healthy? Tell me about the line, trying to be healthy.
Okay, so when I was having my mini breakdown trying to write this, yeah, I thought what would be funny is if he knew what every day of the week smelled like. So Monday and Tuesday smell like steamed veg because everyone's trying to be healthy after their weekend. And then he has all the weekends, but he works Monday to Friday. And so he's never found out what the weekend smells like. And it gives him a sort of existential internal torture that he'll never know what the weekend smells like. His wife loves him anyway. It's a stupid song.
No, it's not. It's not, because right before we played that song, you asked me what was wrong with biomass. We had this long old chat about sewage in Newcastle, and I never answered your question about what is wrong with biomass, where it's controversial, right? And when I was listening to that song, you say, blah, 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 just trying to be healthy. And I want to tell you the story about the controversial part of biomass. And I think, you know, it's your song is a great metaphor for this, David. So there's a power station in Yorkshire called Drax. And they're a biomass. They're an old coal power station, and they now mostly burn biomass. And what they do is they've got a set of rainforests or a set of forests in the US, which are cut down. They're put onto a ship. They're shipped across the Atlantic. They're brought into, I think, the port of Hull. They're put onto trains. They're driven by diesel trains to Drax Power Station and burned. And they call it biomass. And they get credit in some forms of the media and government for being renewable for doing that. Now, yeah. I would suggest that that might be controversial. But to me, the sense check of chopping down rainforests or chopping down forests in the US, shipping them off a quarter way around the world and burning them to make, quotes, renewable energy might not be that actually renewable. And they're massive. They're producing power all the time, like 5%, little baseload power station, just biomass. You'd be funny enough, Dave, they've got quite an extensive PR budget, which I think tries to make them sound healthy. I'm very riled up now. You were stressing out writing a biomass song. I think I might pop how angry I get about this, you know.
I'm just glad that my music evokes some sort of emotion from you, Andrew. That's all. Even if it is absolute rage, I'll take it.
It's I mean, listening to John Lennon's Imagine, I just think, imagine all the wind turbines is the lyric he missed. Spinning happily. We can do. Yeah, let's do it. Can you cover of Imagine about renewable energy? I think would be warmly and universally received as a good thing. No one would find that controversial.
I'll get to work on it and I hope I don't get sued.
No, so Drax really annoys me. What really bugs me about it, David? Sorry, I'm irritated.
No, crack on. I love it.
This really, really irritates me, right? So they're burning this wood all the time, continuous, right? They don't sit there and store it up in a big pile, which would be lovely. Well, it would be lovely. It'd be less bad, you know, if they stored in a big pile and waited until there was less wind and solar on the system, you know, we're generating less from renewables, and sort of started to fill the gaps in. Do you know what I mean? They used it as we use this when there's no energy. And if you do the analysis on that, you do the numbers on that, that's actually a really, really good way of keeping carbon emissions down. Drax approach is keep burning it, make loads of money. And I just don't think it's right, David. Episode five.
I would love that. That episode five was like when you haven't seen your auntie in a few years and you tell her how old you are. Do you remember when you were a kid and you see your aunt, one of those aunties, you know, second aunties. How old are you now? 14. 14. That's how you said it. You went episode 5.
I have started, I refuse point blank to say to any child, wow, you've grown. Because it's not really an achievement. It's just you've lived. But also, I used to hate it when people say that. I'm like, well, of course I have. Of course I've grown. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to shrink? I mean, I had nowhere to go. It really was to wind me up as a child.
Have you got, Andy's terrified of being old bingo, the phrases that you can't say? That would be anti-bingo, I guess. But
it'd be anti-bingo, yeah. Aren't you growing tall? What's your favourite subject at school? That always annoyed me. It's like, I like all of it. Absolutely all of it. Do you want me to list everything?
Of course you did. I feel like school's just wasted on the young, which I feel like is another one going, youth is wasted on the young cliches. But yeah, I think if life was backwards as a kid, if you said to me, you know, go and bip barcodes at a checkout all day in a supermarket, I'd have loved that. Great fun, just bipping stuff. And then you're kind of productive member of society. And then when you hit your 30s and 40s, that's when they're like, right, now you go to school and get an education. If we did it that way, because if you sat me in a classroom now and I had a really intelligent person giving me some facts about history, I'd be like, all day long, mate, shove it in my face.
I really, really love school, but I would also love to go back right now. I mean, you get paid. You're paid and fed and you get potato smileys, you know, them things, and turkey dinosaurs. Not eat them anymore because I'm an enlightened vegetarian, but turkey dinosaurs. Or amazing food, and you get to learn. You get to do recreational maths. I mean, that's amazing.
A perfect dome of mash. You know those mash scoopers for your dinners that made a perfect dome of mash? That was just aesthetically gorgeous.
I really miss. And I was really good at getting there. And I think it's because the din ladies knew I liked it. But I've only realised that just recently. The skin off the custard. Do you know all that dry stuff? And I used to love that. And I always thought, oh, I'm just really good at timing. Well done, Andrew. I think the din ladies knew that I was the only one who liked it, but oh.
Yeah, I was like that with the gravy. That's gonna, it's because it's like an intense flavour sheet. Bloody hell. Should we just sack off the renewable energy and do Andy and Dave's Wishing They Were Younger podcast and lamenting their youth?
Anything but renewables podcast. From the days before renewable energy, Andy and Dave are having a turkey dinosaur.
And you're never having a midlife crisis.
You had an idea, though, David, I believe.
Well, I'll tell you what, then. You said you had a jingle for me.
I do have a jingle. It's not the best, but it's a starter.
Crack it out.
Dave has an idea. Doom. You can see why I'm a singer, Dave.
Yeah. Is that it?
That's it. That is literally it. I was looking around. I can do a little. Excuse me, David has a jingle. How about that? That's all right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it sounded like you were playing the spoons there. What? That was a theme tune to an old game show, wasn't it? Da, 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 da. This is your life?
This is your life,
this
yeah.
This is your life.
Dave has an idea.
Yeah, wow. So I wish I had one that was more themed around what we've just been talking about, but I don't. And I think that's probably pretty on track and on par for this podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the biggest problems we have is water. Yeah? So we have on one side of things, planet heating up, ice caps are melting, sea levels rising, or no problem. On the other side of the world, we have places in sub-Saharan Africa, for example, who have really bad droughts and don't have enough water. Again, environment problem. So what I don't get is why, if we have two exact, forgive me for the pun, polar opposite problems, why can't we find a way to get the extra water that we don't want from the ice caps melting and the sea levels rising to the people who don't have enough water and need it? Andrew.
So you're suggesting that to solve the drought in sub-Saharan Africa, which, just to be clear, is a desert. So drought is quite unusual there.
So, no, well, not maybe not that specific, but there's lots of places in the world that get really bad droughts.
So drought appears in Gabon, in the Horn of Africa. Yeah. And so your theory is we drag an iceberg from the Antarctic to Gabon and then lift it onto the land and let it melt, if it hasn't melted already, and use that melt to stop the drought.
Well, when you put it like that...
No, because I think it's genius. I think within that is a very good idea.
Well, I don't think you would just take it from the source and cut off a massive iceberg and take it over. I mean, there's probably some sort of like eco nightmare waiting to happen when they accidentally leave a polar bear on there and it runs rampant around the whole of Africa.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking more, okay, so the worst happens, the ice melts and the sea levels rise. Well, the sea's all connected, so it should make the whole of the sea rise. But maybe if you're in that area anyway, those parts of the world that are closest to the drought bits find a way of like funneling the water from the closest point of the ocean.
Which would be seawater.
To you. Why? We can filter that salt out, can't you? Can you not filter salt out?
We can. So I think within your idea is some genius. And
you are so good at letting me down gently.
And just to be clear for any listeners who've lost it, Dave was referring to icebergs from the North Pole when he was talking about polar bears, because there aren't any in Antarctica, right, Dave? But that's okay. We all knew that.
Polar bears in the north, penguins in the south.
Yeah, that's lift up the penguin's wing. There's a little joke there. That's the kind of joke you would actually find on a penguin. So I'll take that.
When the iceberg melts, there's just a little stick in the middle with a joke on it for you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They'd love that.
They would love that. They'd be great. And they'd have a frosty reception, some of the jokes. But
the cold shoulder.
So good idea. Right, so there is actually some thinking around this, like credible thinking, not saying also incredible, in renewable energy circles. And the idea goes this, making water, and actually, you know, Australia makes fresh water like this, parts of California make water like this. There's loads of examples of what they call desalination, which is using lots and lots of electricity to turn seawater into drinking water that you can use for drinking or irrigation or whatever. And historically, that's been, extremely expensive. And it's expensive because you need loads and loads and loads of energy in order to be able to do it. Dubai, that's how people are able to live in Dubai, which is a desert, or in part of it, you know, in the Arabian Desert, they're able to desalinate water. The theory goes that huge tracts of land in, say, the Sahara or northern Australia could be used to build a giant solar farm. And the electricity from that solar farm can be used to make awesome things like water or hydrogen, which actually we're going to be a news story, but we'll come on to that in a bit. So they can be used to make this really useful products. They can be shipped around the world. And all of a sudden we've used renewables. We've been able to bring energy to places where it wasn't there before and produce these products that we actually need to sustain. And I don't think anything could be more sustainable than that. And what's great about this idea is if we do it, we might just help avert climate change and mean that the penguins can happily make jokes in Antarctica without sort of having the ice melt from underneath them.
So if I'm hearing you right, Andrew,
yes,
what you're saying is that I just saved the world. That's what I heard there.
You were not far away. You had the concept of water. I will give you the water part of that.
Give me more credit than that. Okay. I just saved the world. Thank you very much.
Okay, good. Thanks for that rationed argument, Dave. That's great.
Dave saved the world.
Some news for the listeners, and my news was going to be about an amazing project that's happened in Birmingham.
Were you just pausing for effect, or did you forget where?
No, I was double checking. I don't want to give credit to Birmingham where credit's not due, but credit is due to Birmingham for turning green hydrogen into ammonia. Why would that ever be interesting, David? It's very interesting, I promise you. So under your Dave Save the Worlds idea, we talked about, you know, giant solar farms in Australia producing water. The other thing that could be used to produce is hydrogen. Hydrogen is this amazing miracle fuel. It's not really that miracle. We've known about it for a very, very long time. And it's a gas that we can burn to make heat, or we can burn to make electricity. And when I say burn, when you burn hydrogen, do you know what you get, David?
Burn hydrogen.
No, water.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. How amazing is that? So we can produce all this great loads of hydrogen and then make water and get energy out. Miracle fuel. So the idea is, yeah, as we talked about previously, you get all this hydrogen. What else can we get from hydrogen, people are asking? Well, they're asking, we can get ammonia. And there's been a pilot project in Birmingham. They've turned, in a low-cost way, hydrogen into ammonia. And ammonia is really exciting because it's a fertilizer. So all of a sudden, we've got potentially got a system where we can get fertilizer for our crops, grow better food, and not get that fertilizer from other sources which are less sustainable, which are unsustainable. I just think that's superb. I think that's a great link. And that, David, I'm going to predict is the future.
And what you've also done an incredible turnabout is made us come full circle back to fertilizer, which takes us right back to biomass.
Oh, my word.
Legend.
That's an example of a sustainable circle, isn't it? That's
the
super.
Circle is complete.
Yes, there is. And no energy was wasted getting there. Dave, superb. We've saved the world.
We did it. Mate, I reckon we call it there. I don't think it's going to get any better. Let's end on a high.
I totally agree. Dave, that is the perfect circle of sustainability. Imagine anything better than that.
Just imagine.
Imagine there's no planet. Without it, we would die. No ozone above us. Once it's gone, we'll fry. Imagine all the people.
Everyone, see you next time on the Renewable Energy Podcast.